Hey, we're going to get right into the word. Are you ready for the word? Hallelujah. So am I. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get right into the word. Father God, you are good, and we have been enjoying our time together, worshiping you. Now speak to us through your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take the word and plant it in our hearts, and that we would have ears to hear and hearts to understand what you have to say to us today. We'll be so careful to give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise. He's good and worthy of praise. So I want to encourage you. We're starting a new series today, and I want to encourage you with this series. It's called Guarding Against Deception. Guarding Against Deception. And I just want to start off by saying we are currently living in unsettled times. In fact, this time that you and I are living in is going to go down in history. It's going to go down in world history because of the events that are occurring right now. In fact, COVID-19 is still a reality. We're broadcasting here from our studio, and it's because COVID-19 is still a reality. In fact, 21 million cases in the U.S. And more than half a million deaths have occurred in the U.S. alone. Let me back up. 21 million in the world, 21 million cases in the world, and more than a half a million deaths worldwide. In the U.S., there's 5.3 million cases and 169,000 deaths. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. In California alone, 622,000 cases and 11,000, more than 11,000 deaths here in California. And so what that lets us know is we are truly living in some last days. Remember, Jesus said that in that last days, perilous times will come. There would be wars and rumors of wars, and there would be pestilence. How many of you remember that? Oh yeah, this is what God says. And so in this regard, you and I are living in a time that is unprecedented. There are some things that are going on that has never happened before. Many states are now opening in phases as a result of this pandemic. However, there are others that are still sheltering in place. People are asked to wear masks and to participate in their social distancing. And let me do this. I just want to say we should wear our mask. Amen. If we're out in public, we should wear our mask and we should participate in social distancing because it's not a, I don't see it as I don't see it as a rights issue. I see it as a health issue. And I wouldn't want to be the one responsible for passing something to someone that could be detrimental to their lives. So I want to encourage you, if you are out and about, wear your mask. If you are out and about, do your social distancing. See, this helps to stop the spread of the virus. And so as such, we see some unprecedented things occurring. In fact, churches and other places of worship were closed for indoor worship, and they were closed by the state. And that's unprecedented here. Some faith leaders see it as an attack on religious freedoms. And then there are other leaders that say it's a matter of public safety. And so they're on sides of the fence, and people are taking sides, even in that area. It seems like political deception is at an all-time high. Political leaders, they're attacking one another in the public eye. They are blatantly lying to the public about a variety of things. People's tweets, they tweet their opinion, and their opinion becomes fact to the reader. And people are taking sides. Civil unrest is at an all-time high. The unwarranted death of African Americans in the hands of police have sparked a social firestorm in our country. It has. And protests are still occurring. Movements like Black Lives Matter have taken center stage, and those in opposition have adopted slogans like All Lives Matter. And guess what? People are taking sides. It seems like the tension regarding these issues are ever growing. Ladies and gentlemen, these times are not like times you and I have ever seen before. See, believers are even being swept into the battle. They're taking sides along the same lines as unbelievers. And this is amazing how believers are being deceived by the enemy to join along battle lines that are not defined by God. See, our battle lines should be defined by God. We stand for righteousness' sake. We stand for truth's sake. We stand for justice' sake. We stand as citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and we allow God to draw the lines for which we stand. But so many people are being deceived. So many people are being duped. So many people are following suit. So many people are listening to these voices. So many people are agreeing with things that didn't originate with them. They're on the bandwagon, as they used to say. You know, the Apostle Paul had a concern for the people of Corinth. See, the church at Corinth, it was a metropolis, and in that, it was a seaport city. There was a lot of import-export. There was a lot of diversity in Corinth, and you know that Paul, we have in Scripture, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, as a result of the many issues that existed in Corinth that Paul actually addressed. And I'm so thankful that we see that the Apostle Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit of God to address current issues that the church at Corinth faced. And he provided what God's perspective was on each of the issues that he addressed. So this series is designed to address issues, but we're addressing issues from God's perspective. And the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. He says this, "But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Everybody see that there? Here, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, who has all of these issues that they're facing, and all of the majority of the issues were cultural issues, and they were bringing many of those cultural issues into the church from a cultural perspective. And Paul says, you know what? I fear lest somehow the serpent, as the serpent deceived Eve, you are being deceived also, and your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. Did you know there's simplicity in the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm so thankful that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's simple. It's simple. Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And so Paul is saying, you know what? You are engaged in cultural disputes, and those cultural disputes have the ability to cause deception for you. See, believers are becoming ineffective as ministers of reconciliation through the deceitful tactics of the enemy. And that's what he desires. Oh, I pray that you receive this today. As I mentioned before, I was on vacation last week, and the Lord really began to speak to my heart concerning this series that he's giving us, because I, as a pastor on vacation, I was enjoying myself, but then I was looking at the affairs of the world, and I'm looking at conversations that I've had with people over these last 5 months or so, and looking at what's going out in social media, and looking at what's coming through the news media, and you know, the Lord just welled up in my heart, you know what, I don't want my people to be deceived. Oh, praise God. I don't want my people to be deceived. I'm so thankful that my pastor, my friend and brother, Pastor Abraham, he shared in his message last week that Satan deceived the woman in the garden to believe that God was keeping her from greatness. Remember that? And that there was more than what God had purposed for her. And what she did is, the scripture says here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, look at what happened. It says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it,'" that is the day of the, that is the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of that fruit. He says, "In the day that you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And he deceived the woman into disobeying God, thinking there was more for her, that God was holding back, that, you know, there's more to life than what God has for you. And here the enemy deceived the woman. And I believe that the enemy is working today to deceive believers into thinking there's more than what God has for them. That, and I'm so thankful. Paul says, no, the gospel of Christ and Christ walk, a walk with Christ, it's simple. He provides everything we need. In fact, he warned against worldly deception in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now, I am going to give you a main scripture that we'll all be looking at in just a few minutes. But Colossians chapter 2 tells us this. Look at what the Apostle Paul says, and he's writing to the church at Colossae that was having some cultural issues as well. He says this, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you." The King James says, "spoil you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Notice that. And then he goes on in verse 9 and he says, "For in him," that is in Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." You see that there? Paul is saying to the church of Colossae, beware lest anyone cheat you, spoil you, beguile you, dupe you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world. And believers are to be on guard. We are to guard against deception. Hallelujah. We are to be aware of the times. We are to be like the sons of Issachar. Remember that? They had a knowledge of the times and the seasons. They were aware. And God desires that you and I would be aware of the times that we are in and that we would watch. Oh, I pray that you are getting this today. You and I are to guard against deception. Now, this is what I'd like you to do. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, because we're going to stay here in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at how God desires that we would guard against deception, how we would take a stand against deception. Now, we could position ourselves, and it's found here in Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at this, Ephesians chapter 5, and we're starting from verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Look at what it says here. He says this, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one," and there it is, "deceive you." Everybody see that there? "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Look at what he says here. Now he's writing at a time where people were doing exactly what they are doing now. They are aligning themselves with the culture. They're jumping on the cultural bandwagon, if you will. And God, through the Apostle Paul, says, "Wait a minute. Let no one deceive you with empty words." church, because of these things, the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. So don't follow the path of those who are disobedient. And there are many people that are championing causes today. However, I just want to let you know that not all causes are godly causes. Oh, hallelujah. Not everything that's being championed is something that God wants you to champion. Look at what he's saying. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't allow what you hear to motivate you to do what you do. Allow what God desires you do to motivate you to do what you do. So this is what I like to do. I'm going to give you this here. Six ways to guard against deception. Six ways to guard against deception. And it's found right here in Ephesians chapter 5. So we've looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. Let's just drop down to verse 8. Look at what it says here. And the first way that you guard against deception is to live to please God. Let me say that again. The first way you guard against deception is to live to please God. Look at what it says here in verse 8. For you once were darkness. Everybody see that there? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Oh, praise God. And look at what he says. He says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You and I, as we live to please God, that means we when we wake up, we're waking up and we spend time with God in prayer. We spend time with God in the Word. The decisions that you and I are making, we're bringing those decisions before God in a very specific way. We're trusting in the Lord with all our heart and not leaning to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we're acknowledging Him and allowing Him to direct our paths. When we have situations that are outside of the normal realm of praying, we begin to bring those to the Lord in prayer regularly. See, when we live to please God, that keeps us from being deceived. Why? Because I'm looking for God's will for my life every day. Hallelujah. How many of you want God's will for your life every day? Well, I want to encourage you, look for God's will for your life every day. Don't look for it on Sundays only. Amen. Don't look for it on Wednesdays only. I want to encourage you to look for God's will and look to live for God. Some people think that's very difficult to do. It's not difficult to do. What he wants us to do is cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. Oh, how many of you believe that today, that he cares for you? Oh, he does. Did you know that he moved heaven and earth on your behalf? He cared for you so much that he sent his son to die for you so that you could have fellowship restored with him. This is our God. And so the first thing we do to guard against deception is to live to please God. We don't live to please self. We live to please God. Now, I'll tell you, I mentioned that it was easy in that we cast our cares before him. But let me let you know that your flesh does not want to please God. Your flesh, your natural, your human nature doesn't want to please God because it was born in sin. Now you are saved if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you are saved. However, you still carry around that earthen vessel, and that earthen vessel called the flesh, it'll give you some challenges from time to time. And if you're not aware of it, it's giving you challenges and you don't even know it. In other words, you may be yielding to the flesh without even realizing that you are being governed by your old nature. The book of Galatians helps us to understand that. He says that we are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So our flesh can keep us from executing the things that God desires in our lives if we are not careful. So we must be aware of the flesh. Be aware of your own desires. Hallelujah. How many married folks out there? Well, I want to let you know that James tells us this. He says, where does wars come from? Those conflicts. And you don't have to be married to have conflicts. Some family folks have conflict. If you are engaged in any relationship with anyone, you may have conflict. And James says that those conflicts come from the desires that war in your members. So the way to alleviate or to minimize conflict is to trust God and say, God, your will rather than my will. And you know who was the greatest example of that for you and for me? Jesus Christ. Remember when he was in the garden and he was praying to the Lord, he says, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So here we see Christ has a will that really doesn't align with the Father's will. What he says is, I'm not going to align my will with the Father's. I'm going to say, okay, Father, your will be done and not my will at all. So here we want to live to please God. Live to please God. So the first way that we can guard against deception is to live to please God. Oh, I hope you're getting in that in your spirit to live making decisions that are godly decisions, letting your conversation be conversations that are uplifting, conversations that are edifying, even conversations that are truthful. You're bearing the truth in love, conversations that are built to add to people and not detract from people, conversations that are designed to encourage people and not discourage people. Here, live to please God. So number one, live to please God. Number two, how can I guard against deception? Disengage from those who are unfruitful. Let me say that again. Disengage from those who are unfruitful. Let's drop down to verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5 and look at what he says. And he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, let me just say this. He's saying, have no koinonia, have no fellowship, don't engage with, don't have this fellowship with unfruitful works. That's not what the believer is to do, but rather expose them. Now, some of you might remember, I don't know, not everybody has had this experience, but I remember we visited some places, visited some houses when I was a kid, and I can't recall having them in any of the houses that we lived in. But I remember staying all night over a few people's houses from time to time when I was a kid. And I remember that at nighttime, it would be, you know, everything would be fine and we would either be asleep or we would be playing. And then when you turn the lights on, you could see roaches running. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. It's like at night, the roaches would come out and they would be all over everything or you know, in into things. But when the light turns on, then the roaches scatter. And this is what comes to mind when I see what he's saying about disengaging with those who are unfruitful. He says, have no fellowship with them. We don't intermingle with them. We don't have koinonia with them, but rather we expose them. Look at what verse 12 says. He says this, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light, or whatever reveals, it's revealed by the light. Oh, now think about this. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you are the light of the world. Well, now we know in part what he meant by that, because what he's saying is rather than us agreeing with, rather than us aligning with, rather than us having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, through our relationship with our God and by our position, by our stand, we shine as lights. And us shining as as lights, what it does is it exposes the things that are done in darkness. Well, Pastor Will, are you saying that I have to come down on people and I have to tell them what they're doing is wrong? No, you don't have to tell them what they're doing is wrong. All you have to do is what's right. Hallelujah. You don't have to browbeat people. Oh, you going to hell, you sinning. No, no, no. All you have to do is stand for righteousness' sake. All you have to do is do the right thing. Just do the things that God desires you do. And as you do the things that God desires that you do, you are shining as lights. And as you and I shine as lights, we are revealing the things that are dark. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I see some of you praising the Lord out there. Yes. See, as we shine as lights, it's not necessary for us to tell people how wrong they are. It's necessary for us to live righteously through the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And as he lives in us, he is the one who convicts the world of sin. Remember that? Jesus said he would convict the world. Well, he convicts the world as you and I are living for him and shining as lights. Jesus said it this way: you don't light a candle and set it under a bush, but you set it on a hill so that all who are in the city can look to that hill and see the light. Oh, I pray that you are the light. I pray that you are not getting caught up in these skirmishes and social media and other forms of communication that serve to possibly dim your light through deception. Oh, Paul told the church at Corinth, I don't want you to be deceived. He told the church at Ephesus, I don't want you to be deceived. He told the church at Colossae, I don't want you to be deceived. And God is telling the church at Impact, hallelujah. God is telling the church for right now, I don't want you to be deceived. You want to know who you are and you want to know whose you are. Hallelujah. Let's keep going here. So disengage from those who are unfruitful. And the third thing that we do to guard against deception is stay alert. Say that with me. Stay alert. We want to stay alert. Look at what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says. We're just going to drop down to verse 15. He says this: see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, we don't use that term circumspectly anymore. But what it means is to have your eyes wide open. It's to look ahead, it's to look behind, it's to look around, it's to always be on guard. I when I'm on my motorcycle, and some of you know that the vacation that I went on, it was a motorcycle vacation, that's what I call it. So I took my Harley and I packed it with my Harley luggage and my wife took a couple of pictures of me with my luggage on my bike, and I rode up to Napa, California. And as I'm riding, in fact, when I move out of our court to the stop sign, I'm looking circumspectly. I'm looking to the left. I'm looking to the right. I'm looking in my mirrors behind me, because I know that not all people see motorcycles. Even though the motorcycle that I have is a fairly large bike, I know that it's not a car. Therefore, sometimes people don't equate that I'm on the road with them. And here, as I'm riding my bike, I'm getting on the highway, I'm looking circumspectly. I'm looking side by side. I'm looking in my mirrors, and I realized one of my mirrors wasn't adjusted where I could see what I needed to do. So I adjusted my mirror. I adjusted my mirror so that I could see behind me on my left side. I could see behind me on my right side. I'm looking ahead. I cleaned my windshield. I cleaned my helmet shield. I'm operating my bike being circumspectly. I'm riding circumspectly. I hope you're getting this. See, he tells us to walk circumspectly. In other words, we're always looking. We are on guard. We are sensing what's going on in the culture. We're looking at what's going on. And he says this: see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And let me just say this, there's a lot of foolishness that's going on with regards to much of the issues that you and I are facing today. Many people are foolish in their response to issues. Some people are just flippantly saying things. Some people are flippantly doing things. But look at what he says. He says this, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Everybody see that there? So here he's saying, be on guard, stay alert. Don't let someone come on your blind side. In fact, minimize your blind sides. Some of us, I mentioned my rear view mirrors on my bike. Some of us need rear view mirrors in our life. Hallelujah. Because that old thing might be trying to creep up, right? Be trying to creep up and catch us off guard. But no, God says, I want you to have your rear view mirror. I want you to look ahead. I want you to look behind, and I want you to look on your sides. I even want you to look up and look down. Hallelujah. God desires that you and I would stay alert. Oh, sometimes we look back and that thing in our past has the potential to trip us up. Even though we look back, we don't stay back. We look back just to be aware of what's back there. Hallelujah. And you know what? If God has delivered you from it, when you look back, you keep it back there. Amen. You don't bring it into your life now. You keep it back where God says, hey, this is where I deliver you. Yeah, I want you to know it. I want you to be aware of it. And I might even have you to put some memorial stones up so you can see what I delivered you from. But that's in your past, so keep it in your past. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we want to be aware. We want to stay alert. Stay alert for those things that are coming at us. We want to stay alert for those things. So number three, stay alert. This is how we guard against deception. Stay alert. Number four, be regularly filled with the Holy Spirit. Be regularly filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says in verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. See, this is all in the same context that the Apostle Paul is writing, that we would be on guard, that we would stand against deception. So he says, so what you do is you desire to be filled with the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. The English rendition of that is somewhat misleading because it leads you to believe that that's a one-time occurrence. Just be filled with the Spirit one time and you'll be okay. But the Greek rendering of that phrase, it says be being filled with the Spirit. Keep being filled with the Spirit, regularly be filled with the Spirit. And in that regard, we are being governed by the Spirit of God. We are not being influenced by, in this case, the alcohol or the wine, but we are being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. See, I love that analogy. He says, don't be influenced by alcohol. Don't be influenced by the wine, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And be influenced by the Holy Spirit regularly. That means decisions that I'm making, I'm bringing before the Lord. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit is going to guide me through it. That means even as I pray, and I pray for those things that I have not seen happen yet, but I'm believing by the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith in God, that it is going to happen. Why? Because I'm walking according to the Spirit. I'm allowing the Spirit access in my life. I'm not grieving the Spirit by doing things that he doesn't want me to do. Neither am I quenching the Spirit by not doing things that he wants me to do. I'm flowing with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what God desires, that we would flow with the Holy Spirit. I had a conversation yesterday with a family member that I love dearly, and I was just explaining to her. I say, you know what? I dare not take control of God's church. I'm going to flow with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide Impact Church. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us at Impact Church. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Oh, glory to God. So I want to encourage you, see, be filled with the Spirit. But when the next day comes around, when Monday comes around, include in your prayer, and Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Now, let me say this. God will, he does. He won't hold himself back from us. But as he fills us with his Spirit, he don't fill us with his Spirit so we would just sit down. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. He fills us with his Spirit so that we would then go and bear those fruit. And we would go and share the gospel. We would go and speak an encouraging word. We would go and say a word that's fitly spoken, like apples of gold in settings of silver. We would go and encourage others. We would go and reflect God here on earth through Jesus Christ living inside of us. See, so when you pray, oh, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, just know that God is going to use you. It may be to call someone to share a comforting word. It may be to help someone with a decision that they have to make. And you're the only one in their sphere of influence that's hearing from God. You're the only one who can guide them as to what God says about the matter. And you're having that conversation and you're thinking you're just talking and you've been praying and you've prayed up and the Holy Spirit has filled you and you're talking and you're encouraging that person by what God has said to you. He's even recalling scripture and you're saying, you know, that reminds me of this scripture where such and such happens. Did you know that's the Holy Spirit speaking through you? I so love the fact that I'm engaged in relationship with many people. And one of the people that's in our service today is my mother. And I say this often, I thank God for my mother. And there's times mom and I are praying and we're talking and then she'll say, you know, that's just like the scripture that says blank, 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 right? Or I'll say, you know, that's just like when God did such and such. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit and used to being filled with the Spirit and regularly being filled with the Spirit, the word of God comes out of you. It does. You see things in the context of the Word of God. Oh, and how many of you know we really need to be viewing world affairs right now in the context of the Word of God? We do. Oh, I dare not look at the things that are going on from a human perspective. I have to see these things from God's perspective so that I'll know how God wants to use me during this particular time. And for all of you who are in the meeting today, for all of you who are in the service today, I want to let you know God wants to use you. He wants you to shine. This is why he's giving us this message today. He wants you to shine as light and not be deceived by the quarrels that are going on, not be deceived by the ideology that people have, not be deceived by the philosophy that people have, not be deceived by the political persuasion a person has. He does not want us to be deceived by any of these culturally sensitive issues or worldly issues. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. Oh, I pray that you're getting that today. So number four, be regularly filled with the Spirit. Number five, in how to guard against deception. Number five, maintain a heart of worship. Maintain a heart of worship. Look at what he says here in verse 19. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, one of the ways we keep from deception and we guard against deception is by worshiping our God. It's by having a song in our heart. It's by having a song to the Lord. Some of you are hummers out there. I know there's a lady on the call. She hums. She hums. When I see her, she's and that's a song that the Lord has put in her heart. I know my wife will tell you I'm a hummer too, so I kind of understand that. My mom is a hummer. We're hummers in that God has put a song in our heart. And I know that there are other hummers that are on the in the service here today. I want to encourage you, allow the Lord and your relationship to him cause you to be one of those hummers, singing to yourself, humming to yourself, making melody to yourself and worshiping God. Look at what he says. He says, singing songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That means you don't need an organ to sing, hallelujah. That means you don't need a choir to sing, right? That means all you need is your relationship with your God. And as such, you are able to just worship him. Oh, in spirit and in truth, just worship you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, when we have hearts of worship, see, it settles our soul. It settles our soul. We're anchored in our God as we have hearts of worship. We're saying, oh, Lord, I know the storm clouds are out there. And how many of you heard that thundering tonight, over the night? Oh, it was major. The storm clouds were out there. But you know what? I was inside and I was dry. I heard the rumbling. And in fact, every now and then, I heard a dish rumble every now and then. The thunder was out there, but I was inside the safety of my home. And as we worship our God, yeah, there's going to be the thunder clouds out there. There's going to be the storms out there, but we are safe in the arms of our God. I like the song, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on the everlasting arm. See, there's going to be those storm clouds out there. There's going to be the storm clouds of deceit. There's going to be the storm clouds of division. There's going to be the storm clouds of all of these things that we're seeing in culture. But I want to let you know that you can just rest in the Lord. Oh, rest in the Lord, and your soul can be so stable, even though the storm clouds are out there. Remember when Jesus told his disciples, he said, let's get into the boat and let's go over to the other side. And they're on their way to the other side, and the storm came up. And these are fishermen, by the way, at least the majority of them are fishermen. So they're used to some rough waves, right? But these were waves. This was a storm that had them scared. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. Hallelujah. And they are afraid, and they go and wake him up, and he say, oh, ye of little faith. And what he does is he gets up and he says, peace, be still. And did you know that the waves and the wind stop in Jesus' name? Oh, I want to encourage you today. Those of you who may be up against the wind and the storm, and it seems to be rocking your boat. Oh, I want to encourage you, just look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and allow Jesus to quiet your storm. And guess what? Jesus quiets our storm from the inside. See, because it might still be thundering on the outside, right? But in the inside, I have peace. I have peace. I have joy. I have joy. Why? Because I'm worshiping my God. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to worship my God. Some of you know the story about Paul and Silas. They were thrown in prison. And the Bible says, rather than them complaining and grumbling because they were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and they were thrown in prison, he says, rather than that, at midnight, they down in the deepest part of the prison, in the deepest dungeon, if you will, they down there worshiping God and singing songs, hallelujah. And they're singing songs and they're singing, and the Lord causes this earthquake to happen, and the doors of the prison open, and the prisoners are able to leave, but they do not at Paul's request. And this so intrigues the jailer, who knows that these criminals would normally have left. It so intrigues him that he has a conversation with Paul, and this man and his household ends up getting saved. He said, this is amazing. What is this all about? And Paul was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to this man and save his household. And it started off with Paul and Silas singing and praying in prison. Oh, I want to encourage you. Let that song that's in your heart, let it come out. Let that song that's in your heart, let it come out. Sing your song. Sing your song. Whatever it is that you're going through, don't let it stop your song. Oh, hallelujah. Don't let it stop that song. And some of you might not know a song. I remember when I didn't know a song, I was walking with the Lord and I didn't know a song, but I remember this lady used to sing a song at our church, and I can't remember all of the lyrics, but the first part of the lyrics say, how do you know when true love, if true love ever comes your way? And the chorus of that song was, his love is forever. His love is forever. And I didn't know the whole song, but I want to let you know, I was going through something and I would just keep singing the chorus. His love is forever. His love is forever. Oh, I want to encourage you. Let the song of the Lord dwell in your heart and let it come out of your mouth. Oh, praise God. So maintain a heart of worship. And lastly, the last way, the sixth way that we guard against deception is have an attitude of gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. Look at what he says here in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody see that there? That's an attitude of gratitude. Regardless of what's going on, I'm going to have a heart of worship. And Lord, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to have an attitude of gratitude. Some people might see the glass as half empty, but I see it as half full, Lord. And I see that you're going to add to the glass somewhere in the future by faith. I know you're going to add. I see life as, Lord, you are in control. And regardless of what we see here on earth, I know that your will be done, because that's what I'm praying. See, we're allowing our attitude to reflect to God, and we have this attitude of gratitude that keeps our heart in the right place. See, it's very difficult to deceive someone when they have an attitude of gratitude. When they're thanking God, even for what most people may not thank God for. And I'm not saying I thank him for the hurt and the pain when I'm going through it, but I'll tell you this, when I look back, I thank him for the hurt and the pain. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Because what it did is it produced fruit in my life. It produced fruit. It helped me to grow. It helped me to see things from his perspective. So while we're gone, we might not be saying, oh, Lord, thank you for this pain, but I want to let you know that you will come out of it. And when you come out of it, you will look back and say, oh, Lord, I thank you, because I, even though when I was in pain, it could have been a whole lot worse than it was, and you kept me, God. You kept me in the midst of the storm. You kept me. Oh, sometimes we just have to look back. Remember having those rearview mirrors? Sometimes we have to look back and see what God has done and say, oh, Lord, I thank you. When I was going through it, it seemed hard. But Lord, I thank you. The psalmist said, I've been young and yet I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Notice that. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Here, God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is always there. He is always there. Oh, think about that. See, when we have an attitude of gratitude, we can look at the simplest of things and be happy about it. I was talking to Joe here recently, and you know, he and I are working on this equipment and things, and he showed me something. It was, hey, Pastor Will, let me show you this. And he showed me this thing, and I just lit up. I was so excited. I say, oh, Joe, oh, that's wonderful, man. So are they going to be able to see that? And I say, you know, it don't take a whole lot to satisfy me. It really doesn't. I was just so pleased with what I saw. It doesn't take a lot. Why? When you have an attitude of gratitude, you can see the good in all the things that occur. You can. You can see the good in it. Some people say, oh, I didn't get a chance to go to so-and-so. Others will say, man, I'm glad I didn't go because it started raining. Hallelujah. When you have an attitude of gratitude, you see things from God's perspective, and you're less inclined to be deceived by what you think is the way. Oh, I pray that you are getting this today. I'm so encouraged. I'm so encouraged to help us not be deceived by what's going on in the culture. So let me just reiterate this before I close. So the six ways we guard against deception. Number one, for those of you who didn't get it, live to please God. Number two, disengage from those who are unfruitful. Number three, stay alert. Walk circumspectly, right? Number four, be regularly filled with the Spirit. Number five, maintain a heart of worship. And number six, have an attitude of gratitude. And if you continue in this way, you will not be deceived. In fact, you will shine as those lights that Jesus say we are. And we will be salty as that salt that he says that we are in the earth. And remember, you don't have to tell people what not to do. All you have to do is what God wants you to do, and he will shine through you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, Lord. It's an encouraging word that helps us to navigate these storms of life that we are in, to navigate the issues that we are facing. And I thank you, Lord, that this is the first of a series of messages that helps us to guard against deception, that we would not be duped, we would not be deceived, we would not be like the woman in the garden who was deceived by the serpent, but we would be wise. We would walk with our eyes wide open, and we would be fully aware of what you are doing, not only in the world, but what you are doing in our lives. And Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender to you. I want to encourage you. Some of you may say, Pastor Will, you know, I heard that word. I heard the message, and it reminded me of what I should be doing. It reminded me of how I should be. Well, you know, you're at the right place. Because God, he forgives us of our sin. He says that he will separate us from our sins as far as east is from west. That's what he says in his word. And I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today. This would be the day that you would make the change to agree what God says. See, you want to agree with what God says about your situation. Agree with what God says about you. And what he says about you is he loves you. That's what he says. Regardless of what you've made of life, regardless of what has happened in life, God loves you. And he loved you so much that he made a way for you to have relationship, fellowship restored with him. And that happens through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You say, Pastor Will, I want my relationship with God. I want to walk in that restoration. I want to walk in that restoration. He did it. And now I believe it because you're telling me that's his word. And I want to walk in that. If that's you, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the one who wants to walk in restoration. I pray even right now, Lord, that you would visit them in their heart of hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that you would confirm in their lives what you are doing and what you have done. I pray that you would confirm forgiveness, that you would lift the weight of guilt that has been in their life. I pray, Father, that you would give them clarity in their walk with you, in their life with you. Give them clarity with regards to your word and reading your word. Give them clarity as to purpose that you have for them. Oh, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor Will, you know, I just want to be filled with God's Spirit. I hear you saying that, and I hear you saying that again, and I haven't heard you say how to do that. Well, we do it by asking, and I'm going to pray with you now. You want to be filled with this Spirit, oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray right now, Lord, that those that are in the room, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that they would be influenced by you, guided by you, led by you, living for you. Oh, yes, fill them, Lord, fill them in Jesus' name with your Spirit, and let your will be done in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Paul says that the gospel of Christ is simple. It's simple. All we have to do is continue to do what God desires that we do. And he's been giving us some great messages as to how to do that. So I want to encourage you all, trust God. Trust God during this time. Believe what God says about life. Believe what God says about people. And believe what God says about the truth. And as you engage with people, shine as lights. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We're making impact as we sing his praise.